Shuttolo kabayatelian toka stalabetele ke shilelam daike. Malalion to tori pelea stolo cosete belam bedelea. Bole de vien de loba costelelea. Sende berea toko stateliete. Die ke la londa la ma. Madremo samasdaias castia balohoto. Nere vendela veia colorubo shoto rotokelelea. Patriandolo ko solotoke, se telele anko konomene andale, brasso toko shoto, ronto bababai ke talaya tonke talaya stoshish talaya.
For the Spirit of the Lord says that yes, indeed, my breath and my wind are blowing upon you afresh and anew in this moment and even in this hour, says the Spirit of grace. And the Lord said, I'm going to begin to penetrate those areas that have been hard and frustrated, says God. And I'm going to begin to bring a liberation and a freedom to you unlike anything you've ever experienced in times past. For the Lord says, truly, I'm doing a brand new thing within my bride. And I'm resuscitating her breath and her ability to breathe and to function healthy and normal, says the Lord. And the Lord said, as you begin to take me in, the Lord says, I'm going to come in ways and measures that you've not yet known of. For the Lord said, truly my glory will begin to rest upon my bride, a brand new. And I'm raising her up, and she's a great exceeding army, says the Lord. For the Lord says, she is so great and she's so exceeding that she'll begin to expel all darkness round about her. And the light of my who I am will begin to swallow up the darkness all around her, says the Lord. For the Lord says, as you begin to gaze upon me and look to me and put your focus back on me, the Lord says you're going to begin to see me with new eyes. And as you see me with new eyes, there's going to be such a great transformation that's going to begin to happen. And the Lord said, it's almost as if I, even now as I'm praying and I'm speaking this, it's like I see even health coming to the bones and to the tissues and to the organs and to the skin, to the marrow, to every cell in the body. The Lord says it's all coming alive again. And where the onslaught of the enemy has been so severe and so relentless, the Lord says, I'm coming in with a spirit of might. And my might is going to begin to crash in on you and overwhelm you. And as it comes and it crashes in on you and it overwhelms you, the Lord says you're literally going to take on new life, new breath. New life, new breath, and the hopes and the dreams and the things that you've longed for. God said, you'll stand in amaze at my goodness once again. You'll know what it is to taste of my goodness and be overwhelmed by my goodness, says God. For nothing has gone by unnoticed by me, for my eye has always, always been upon you. I love you with an everlasting love. I love you with an everlasting love. Thank you, Lord.
Brother Jim, it's yours, Dr. Childs. From Madisonville, Kentucky.
Hallelujah. Well, give the Lord a hand. Glory to God. Give the Lord a hand. Oh, come on. He's better than that. Glory to God.
Hallelujah, Jesus.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And I tell you that I'm 60 years young. And I'm getting ready to go buy me another motorcycle. Yeah. And I say that because I want to tell you that some of y'all are getting old before your time. Yeah. I understand the outward man perishes, but the inward man is renewed day by day. Come on now. And we've got to get our inward man so renewed that we refuse to get old and sit down and sit. Come on. And do what is expected of old folk. Well, amen, Brother Tim. Well, amen. Let me encourage you, if you see a vet, thank them for their service. It's interesting. I had just got message from my grandson, who's in Italy serving in the Air Force, and wishing me a happy Veterans Day. But I was home almost 40 years from Nam, you know, the popular war. And we went out to eat with a couple of them. And as we sat there at the table, and he discovered that I was a vet, he says, "Welcome home." I said, "Well, thanks," and just kind of blew it off. He says, "No, listen to me. Welcome home." And man, something inside me broke, and I didn't even know it was there. And I was in a restaurant shortly after that, and it was a buffet bar for breakfast, and I saw this guy walk up there, and he looked pretty rough, and had this shirt on, you know, that had some writing on it. It said, "For all those that didn't wish me welcome home, get," and then you can imagine the rest of it. And he went and sat down, and I thought, this guy's hurting me. So I walked over to his table. I said, "You're a vet." He says, "Yeah." I said, "Welcome home," and stuck out my hand, and he just literally broke. I mean, you could see it, the softness come on him. So I'm encourage you, welcome somebody home, welcome, or thank them for their service. Amen? Amen? Come on now, don't get Presbyterian on me. Come on, chosen frozen. Well, praise God. I want to say this that, and with no disrespect whatsoever, but to Pastor Shirley, you've come a long way, baby. Yeah, I mean, that anointing just flowed out of her today. Amen. And I've run with some of the what they call the big dogs, the generals, and I sat in services with them, and I think they said some wonderful things, but I didn't sense no anointing. Well, I'll tell you what, I've sensed the anointing this morning, glory to God, just pouring out of Pastor Shirley. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. Y'all, come on, you're not Baptists this morning. Amen, hallelujah, glory to God, thank you, Jesus, praise the Lord. Something like that. Bring it up, Doc. Well, something, glory to God. Look at somebody, say something. Glory to God. Last night before I went to bed, I was just kind of saying to the Lord, "Lord, speak to me. I just want to hear you tonight, Lord. Just speak to me." And you know, I said, "You know, whatever you want to say, Lord." You know, because most of the time we want to tell him what we want to hear. "Just whatever you want to say, Lord. If you want to give me some strategies, you want to give me some directions, if you want to give me some instructions, if you want to chastise me, Lord, go ahead and speak to me." Well, nothing, but about 4 o'clock this morning, I heard my name being called. And I just got still before the Lord, and he began to say some things to me, remind me of some things that he wanted me to speak to you this morning. I had put it all out of my mind altogether until he said that this morning. And so I'm going to say some things along that line. But I want to tell you how important it is for you and I to get sensitive to the voice of God. Amen. To really tune our ears in to hear what God is saying. We're living in a time and a season where so many people are saying so many different things. Come on now. And you know, you have so many different extremes. And you see people, you know, not only in the church, but in the world doing all kinds of things and trying to say, you know, God says it and God blessed it and everything. You know, just like we've had ministers now, supposed to be Christian ministers, going and blessing abortion clinics. Come on now. And they're supposed to be Christian. And I find out in the church we have a lot of people saved, but not a whole lot of people that are Christian. Because Christian means Christ-like. Amen. So it's important that we tune in to the voice of God. I may have shared this before, but a couple years ago now that we were getting ready for church, and Pastor Connie was in there, you know, doing whatever she does to get everything so she looked beautiful like she does. And I was in the other room getting dressed, and the Lord spoke to me. He says, "Jim, do you want to come home?" I mean, just out of the clear blue. I wasn't going through anything. I wasn't discouraged or anything like that. But, "Jim, do you want to come home?" And I thought, "Well, no, Lord. There's still a lot more I want to do. There's still I want to get accomplished. Not that I feel like I got to work anything. I'm ready to meet him." Amen. Perfect love casts out fear. There's no fear in my life about me going before the Lord because I know I'm forgiven. And are you following me? And so all that fear is gone. I can check out today and be all right. Are you following me? But I knew there were some things I wanted to accomplish yet. And so I said, no, Lord, not yet. And it was all right with him. And then back in February, I think it was, we went to a conference. And it was a good conference. It was a powerful conference. But, you know, I didn't get prayed for or nothing like that, you know. And we took a four and a half hour to 5 hour trip to come back home. And when we got home, I think we even stopped and ate. So, I mean, it was a big time frame difference. And we walked in and we sat down. And I was just on the edge of my seat. And Connie says, what's wrong? I says, I just feel God. I just feel God. And I said, phew. And she just watching me, looking at me, because she thinks, you know, what's going on? And I tell her, I says, I tell you, it's just so strong. It's stronger than I've ever felt before in my life. And then I heard these words, softly and gently, Jesus is calling, come home, come home. I said, God, I'm not ready yet. I want to do so much more for you. The only reason I'm saying that today is if you're done doing things for God, go home. Just go on home. You know? If you're done, if there's no usefulness in you anymore, huh? If you can't testify to anybody, you can't pray for somebody, come on now, then just go on home. Are you following me? Because evidently you served your purpose. Well, I knew you didn't want to hear that. Hallelujah. So at 4 o'clock this morning, the Lord says to me, smite the shepherd and the sheep will be scattered. I thought, my God, that's what's happening. Smite the shepherd and the sheep will be scattered. So it's very important that you pray for your pastors, all of them. Come on now. And I don't mean lay me down to sleep prayers. I mean intercede for them. Pray for them. Because the enemy would love nothing more than to smite them, to attack them. And because he knows if he takes out the head, the rest of them will go off. Well, amen. And you know, people are funny. I years ago, when my previous wife had cancer, somebody else developed cancer in the church. And they came to me and said, you know, I went for a test. And I determined if I have cancer, I'm leaving the church. Because evidently something's wrong. And that's the way people think. Come on, people think that. There's got to be something wrong. Something's not right. So we've got to flee before it affects us. No, what you need to do is stay and pray. Come on. Intercede, glory to God. And stand your ground. Amen. Praise God. Well, I just wanted to throw that in. If you have your Bibles, go to the book of Nahum. Hallelujah.
Hey, honey, just a minute, because I want to write on that just a moment. Remember I said last night that God was rebirthing prayer in this house. He's bringing a freshness back to it. He's bringing a desire back to it. Amen. Come on, amen. So some of you need to begin to step up to the plate. And begin to really, really pray again. Amen. And as I say that, Rita, one of the things God said is that this weekend was going to be a weekend of recommissioning. So I want to recommission you by the Spirit of the Lord in that area of prayer, that mantle of prayer and intercession that rests upon you will begin to flow in a greater magnitude than what it ever has. For God says, I'm breaking up the dam and I'm going to cause a gushing of living waters to begin to flow out of you. And God said, you will hear my voice with such sure clarity. And as you do, God says, you're going to begin to decree things in the atmosphere of this house that's going to begin to settle some issues once and for all, says God. For God says, you have my heartbeat. And because you have my heartbeat, I'm going to woo you in a little bit deeper, says the Lord. So the Lord says, even this day, there's a recommissioning. There's a reigniting in that area of prayer and out of intercession in the name of Jesus. Father, I just thank you for that. I thank you. Reed, if you will, just step out in the aisle here.
Thank you, Father.
Can somebody get behind her just in case? Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. God says, your faithfulness is coming with a great reward. And part of their reward is what's called the prophet's reward, where the prophetic is going to begin to be uttered in and through you, says the Lord, out of your faithfulness. I just heard the Spirit of the Lord say, tell my daughter she's done well. You've done very, very well. And he's pleased.
Hallelujah.
He's pleased.
Thank you, Lord.
He's pleased.
Thank
so,
you.
Father, right now, as I lay hands on her, I thank you. There's a fresh commissioning and an impartation and a fresh awakening for that mantle of prayer and intercession that rests upon her to begin to gush and flow in measures, God, that will literally overwhelm her right now. In the name. Jesus. Oh,
thank
yeah,
you,
there
Father.
He is. Jesus.
Thank you.
Uh-huh, just take him in. Jesus.
Thank you, Father.
Shh.
Thank you,
Father.
Hallelujah.
Brother Bob, the Lord says, as I begin to stir your bride, it's going to awake you. And God says he's awakening something fresh inside of you. A freshness is coming to you. A vigor, a strength is coming upon your body. Come on. There's things that you long to do. And it's almost like I've seen you come through a very sorrowful season. It's like you've had to embrace some things concerning your physical body. And inside, you've not really been okay with it. And God said, I'm glad. Because it's not okay. Amen. So, Father, I just thank you for your healing virtue, touching your son and causing a resurrection in areas, Lord God, of the physical body that's tried to put limitations on him.
Hallelujah.
It's almost like this thing has literally just tried to wipe you out.
Thank you.
Wipe you out in the sense of strength.
Thank you.
Of dreaming. And all that's coming back. All of that's coming back. So, Father, I just thank you. Just stay right there for your healing virtue. Oh, yeah, right there. Saturating.
Thank you.
Saturating.
Thank you.
Flowing. Everything being made whole. You will run and not grow weary. You will walk and not faint, for I'm raising you up, I'm raising you up, I'm raising you up. You're not going to go out like this. No. I bind every demonic spirit of deterioration.
Hallelujah.
I speak life in this body.
Thank you.
Dreams, hope. Coming back, being restored. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for his faithfulness.
Hallelujah.
Thank you for his steadiness, God. You've even said, God, is there really any need? Do I really have place to? Is there really any need? And God said, oh, yeah. Yeah, there is. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
You might be retiring in the natural, but God says you're going to refire in the spirit. Amen.
Amen.
These latter years for you are glorious years. Glorious years. Glorious years.
Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah. Thank
Hallelujah.
You, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah. Praise
Hallelujah.
The Lord.
Hallelujah. Praise Listen, Lord. If you feel like you've got that calling of prayer and intercession, I just need you to stand real quickly. I know, baby, I know. Remember you, I am. If that's you, come on, stand quickly. Come on, just stand quickly. You have the call for this house, to pray for this house, to intercede for this house. I just need you to stand. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Yes, yes, yes. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. If you will, just a moment, just raise your hands to heaven. Glory, there's coming a recommissioning upon this house like never before in the area, in that mantle of prayer that's coming upon you. that you'll begin to intercede and cause a breakthrough in the atmosphere. There's coming such a holiness on your prayer that you're going to begin to pray like fervent prayer. I mean fervent, violent prayer. Come on. Not no lay me down to sleep, hush, let's be quiet, let's just pray. No, I'm talking about get loud, get tenacious, get bold, get that dogmatic thing upon you again. Amen. That's going to bring the breakthrough. That's going to bring the breakthrough. That's going to bring breakthrough, 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 breakthrough. Ha bre beke. Come on, just pray in the Holy Ghost just a moment. Bre beke shit po po. Come on, pray in the Holy Ghost. Lift up your voice. You've been silent too long. You've been a little passive too long. Stir that thing up on the inside of you right now. There's an anointing to break you through in another level, in another way. Ha bre bo bo she ba 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 ba. Bre beke shit te te ya. Brahma kasha, come on, lift your voice, lift your voice, lift your voice. I can't hear you. You can do better than that. Brahma kasha borobokoshe. Brahma kasha. Thank you for a rebirthing, God, in prayer and in intercession. A rebirthing, Lord God. Breba kashotoria. Laria bekeshe te teteya. Bro brebekeshea. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Denise and Jerry, God says, I'm so pleased with your faithfulness. I'm pleased with your steadiness in the name of Jesus. Last night, Denise, I heard God say, tell my daughter it is not your fault. Now, I don't even know what that is. But God said, it's not your fault. Hallelujah. So, Lord, I just thank you that there's such longevity here. And I speak life to that longevity. And I thank you, God, they take on fresh strength, fresh zeal. The hunger of the Lord is going to begin to overtake you in ways that you've not experienced just yet. Wow. And God said, when it hits your belly, it's going to hit your children and your children's children. There's coming that lineage, come on, that's going to begin to pass on to them. As they hear grandma and grandpa praying in the Holy Ghost. Come on. Come on. Our babies need to hear us praying in the Holy Ghost, people of God. Instead of trying to fix everything for them, pray in the Holy Ghost with them. Hallelujah. You've done good. You've done good. Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. You can be seated.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. See, I thought you said you're young. You're sitting down. Well, every time I sit down, I'm riding that motorcycle. Hallelujah. Glory to God. My wife and I flow together pretty good. Sometimes we get out of the vehicle to go into a store or something, and she's 4 feet in front of me. I mean, I say, what are you running for? Slow down, you know? And she does the same thing when we minister. I'll get ready to do something or say something, and she'll jump up there and run out there before me and do it before I can get a chance to. Hallelujah. But we flow together. Good. Glory to God. Have you found Nahum chapter 2? In verse 1, he that dashes in pieces that come up before your face, keep the munition, watch the way, make your loins strong, fortify your power mightily. Now I want you to see something here. He that dashes in pieces has come up before your face. Look at somebody and tell them, say, he's in your face. Back in the streets when I was growing up and everything, when somebody come up in front of you, you would tell them, don't get in my face. And which meant there was a challenge there. And you received it as a challenge. And so the enemy's come up in your face. He's trying to get in your face. And what he's trying to do, he's trying to cause confusion in you, put a cloud of confusion over your life about what's going on today in your life, in the church, in the world, whatever. And he says to keep the munition, which means to get up on your watch, if you would. Get up on your guard post so that you can be on guard and watch Watch the wave. Watch how he's coming in. Know what he's doing. Don't be overtaken. Don't be surprised. Then he says, fortify your loins, or make your loins strong. And loins is a reproductive area, because the enemy's coming in to try to stop you from being reproductive. He's trying to stop the church from growing. Come on now. And if he can stop the church from growing, you've run into a maintenance mode where all you're thinking about is we can just maintain what we got. It's been bad, but if we can just maintain what we got, then we'll make it. And that's what the enemy wants you to get into, a maintenance mode rather than a reproductive mode. Amen. And so strengthen your loins. Get to busy reproducing. And then fortify your power mightily. And the only way you're going to fortify your power mightily is if you get in the Word, first of all, and let the Word get in you. Come on now. And not just know some Scripture, but live some Scripture. Come on. And be doers of the Word, and not just hearers only. And that if you spend some time praying in the Holy Ghost. Remember, build up your most holy faith praying in the Holy Ghost. And I'm really, it just really gets me when I hear Christians say I'm full gospel or I'm full of the Holy Ghost. Because I'll tell them, I say, no, you're not. You're about quart low. Because, if you're living off of your experiences of one time having an experience, or living off the last revival meeting you had, or the last time you felt your suit move or whatever, then you're a quart low. You ought to be spending some time in the presence of God daily, praying in the Holy Ghost. Come on now. Praying in the Holy Ghost. If you're still praying the same language you always prayed, that tells me you've not been praying in the Holy Ghost. Well, amen. All right. I'm just going to leave that alone. I just want to throw that out there just to give it to you. I'm just going to kind of give you a shotgun thing today. Just, shoot some different things and see what hits. Glory to God. And I'll be able to tell by the way you flinch or make faces you make or whatever, glory to God. But I've developed John Osteen's saying years ago, if I rub the cat the wrong way, let the cat turn around. Amen. Because I only know one way, forward ever, backward never. Amen. Glory to God. And like Pastor Shirley said today, I'm sorry, but I'm not sorry. Glory to God. Not making no apologies. Glory to God. Well, amen. Well, John the Revelator was on the Isle of Patmos, the Bible says, for the testimony of Jesus. In other words, he couldn't keep his mouth shut, so they didn't know what else to do for him but put him out there on the island. Get him away from everybody. Amen. When's the last time somebody ran when they seen you coming? Huh? Because they knew you was going to talk about Jesus. They knew you was going to ask him, can you pray for him or whatever. And see, that we ought to be contagious. Amen. We ought to be so juicy that when we get around people, we spill over on them. Amen. Amen. And we ought to be the ones that cause revival. We ought to be ones that carry an excitement. Hey, Jan. How you doing, Jan? Everybody say, hey, Jan, how you doing, Jan? And so we ought to be carrying the revival and be revivalists, amen? I went to a service years ago, and it was down at the sheep shed, Brother Jerry, and I was going with some folks from my previous church, and they had picked me up, was going to go over there together, and I don't like being at the mercy of other folks, especially when I'm going to a church service. Because I'm one of these guys, I get to service early. And I'm usually leaving late. And because, I've been in services when we have the afterflow. The service after the service. And the Holy Ghost just break out after our folks go home. And I've had people come to me and I tell them, maybe y'all missed it last night. We stayed a little later last night and the Holy Ghost just broke out. And they said, that happens every time I go home. I said, what does that tell you? And so they picked me up, and we was going over to the service, and I already feel like we're going to be late because I'm 30 minutes early most of the time. And so we're going, and the road's detoured. And I'm thinking, oh, man, this is not good. And so when we finally get there, the music's already playing in the service. And I'm thinking, I don't even want to go in. I am late. And I don't want to go in being late. But we go on in, and as we go in, the place is packed out. And so they all went to the restroom, and I had to set out a row of chairs. And I set out a row of chairs, but before they come out, new people come in and take the row of chairs. So I had to put another row of chair out, and we sat out. Now I'm in the back of the church, in the back of the church. Y'all, you know what I'm talking, in the back of the church, where you don't think nothing's going to happen, where you feel safe. And so I'm in the back of the church, and I'm ticked because I'm late. And if I was on time, I wouldn't be in the back of the church. I want to get up close where Holy Spit can get on me. And I'm thinking, there's no way in the world that, you know, that I'm going to get anything from anybody. Stanley Rankin was there. You remember Stanley Rankin? Prophet Stanley Rankin. And he ministers to a couple of people. Then he looks back there and he says, "You're way back there in the back. You." And I'm thinking, oh, look at here. God knows where I'm at. Surprise, surprise, surprise. And he begins to prophesy to me about being a revivalist. And a revivalist is not somebody that's looking for revival. A revivalist is somebody that carries revival, that made up their mind they're going to be revival. Amen. And I believe all of us, that God wants all of us to be revivalists, that he wants us to carry something in us, that when we get around people that are down, come on now, that we can say, like the book of Job said, you can say there's lifting up and God will lift them up. We can get around somebody that's going through discouragement or whatever, and just being around them, they feel better because of the presence of God in our lives. Come on. But that's not going to happen unless we really get fired up and spend some time praying in the Holy Ghost. Well, amen. John the Revelator is on the Isle of Patmos, and he hears a voice saying, "Come up here." And I believe that, I know that the church wants to tell you that's something to do with the rapture. Absolutely not. It doesn't have nothing to do with the rapture. It has to do with the invitation for you to come up to the presence of God, to come up out of where you're at, and to see things you've not seen before, and to hear things that you've not heard before. And John the Revelator was caught up, and he said he was immediately in the Spirit on the Lord's Day, and that wasn't Sunday. That was a day back on the island where they were worshiping the emperor. The emperor was called Lord, and so they were worshiping the emperor on the island, on the main island, if you would, or the mainland. And John says when they were over there worshiping the emperor, having to bow down and give homage to the emperor, I got caught up in the Spirit, glory to God. And I want to tell you that no matter what's going on around about you, that if you'll tune in to God, you can get caught up in the Spirit. Just like Pastor Shirley said today, that about how easy it's to be. That's what I tell our church. I tell them, I said, you know, this stuff about having to fast 40 days or having to claim so many scriptures or having to get in a service where you just feel like everything's just wild before you can get in the Spirit is just over. We've got to be able to just step into the Holy Ghost. I mean, step into a realm, because we are not of this world. And so he says there was one. When he got caught up, he looked and said, "There is one who sits on the throne." Everybody say, "There's one." So there's one who sits on the throne. And I want to tell you, he didn't fall off because you had some problems. Come on now. He didn't fall off when you got bad news. Come on now. He didn't fall off when you got attacked with some kind of sickness or disease, or your family members acted up, or your loved ones left you, or people left the church. He didn't fall off the throne. He's still on the throne today, amen? He's still large and in charge. Come on now. And so we've got to realize that he knows what we're going through. He sees the end from the beginning, amen? And he's, the Bible even says he knows the very number of hairs on your head. And I don't know about anybody but maybe Willie that still has original count. So he's aware of what's going on. Are you following me? Glory to God. And so there's one on the throne. Now, let me say this. The last year, the God's just been dealing with me in a message, several messages. I find myself preaching it over and over again, this subject, and that is transition. And whether you know it or not, the church is in transition. In fact, the whole world is in transition. America is not the same America that we used to know. It's changing before our very eyes. Come on now. It really is. It's changing. And you know, I grew up in Detroit area, and in when I was growing up, you could sleep out on the porch, you know, the screened-in porch, didn't have to have a lock or anything else. Everything was cool. But like Ricardo was saying today, there's a bunch of nuts out there. Amen? And so things have changed. There's commercials that come on TV today, just commercials. that if it would came on when I was a kid, man, people would be falling in the floor. They're passing out, talking about things that they talk about just in commercials. Come on now. And so America is changing. There's transition going on. Who would ever thought that there would be people marching in the street for wanting more taxes? Come on. Things are just happening. Things are changing, and it's going on right before our eyes. But not only is it happening in the church, in the world, but it's happening in the church. The church is in transition. Back in the 90s, I said when the new century came, that you wouldn't recognize the church. And I began to see it take place. It didn't happen as quickly as I thought it was, but it's happening over and over and over again. The church is changing very, very rapidly. Well, amen. You know, there was a day that I would never have thought of dressing like this to preach. Amen. Because I would have figured that, you know, they would run me out of town. But I've seen people come to preach in shorts. I don't recommend it. Especially when you see some of those legs. But they do it. Glory to God. Amen. And so things are changing right before our eyes. We are in transition. Remember, the Bible says in Romans chapter 12, I beseech ye therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies living sacrifices, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you might be able to prove what is the good, the acceptable, and the perfect will of God. And so in that context there, he says, I want you to be transformed. And that has to do with transitioning. We are transitioning into transformation. Are you following me? That God's wanting to accomplish something in our life. We're on a journey. Look at somebody and say, you ain't there yet. I know sometimes when we begin to experience some things in God, we come to a place that we think that I'm okay, you're okay, I've got everything I need. I can just float along in one day, in the sweet by and by, just over in the glory land. I'll step over into glory land and everything will be all right. Won't it be wonderful there, having no more burdens to share? Huh? And we put everything out there, over there, when God's saying, I want to do something right now in the here and now. I'm interested in you. I'm interested in what concerns you. I want to move beyond four walls. Well, amen. And so the church is in transition. Now, one of the things about transition, I describe it this way. And you can write this down. This is a good note for you. It's transition. It's a theological definition of what transition is. It's the hallway of hell. That's what transition is. Because when you're in transition, and it's something you don't ask for. It's you know, you didn't say, God, today be a good day for us, just go through transition. No, because you wake up all of a sudden and realize, man, I'm in transition. Things are not the way they've always been in my life. I'm not sensing the same things. I don't feel the same things. I'm looking around. I don't see the same people. I'm in transition, and I don't know what's going on. While you're in transition, the Bible says, we're being transformed. While you're in this transition, here's what takes place. Hallelujah. Yes. Hallelujah. While you're in transition, you feel some things that you wouldn't normally feel. I'm in transition right now. And I'm taking others with me. Hallelujah. Now, here's the thing, that when you're in transition, I describe it as a hallway. And in a hallway, you're in a hallway, and it's like there's a door behind you, and there's a door before you, but everything's dark there, and you don't know which door you just came out of and which door you're getting ready to go into. You're in transition. Hallelujah. Are we good? Hallelujah. So we're in transition. Everybody say transition. And so I want you to picture this. You're standing in the hallway, and you don't know which direction to go in. And that's where a lot of the church is today, because we've gone through so much. We've seen so many things come and so many things go. We've seen people come, we see people go, and we look around, we're trying to figure out what is going on, God. I'll tell you what's going on. He's moving you from one place to the next. One of the words for transition is a word that I used to really have this taste for because I heard it so much. How many of you know that every so often the church gets these buzzwords? And, you know, you'll get a buzzword and all of a sudden everybody starts saying the buzzword. So I get turned off with buzzwords because if that's the only way I can reach people, if I give them a buzzword, something's wrong with them. Amen. And so one of the buzzwords was shift. And you hear it all the time. There's a shift. And I'm thinking, my God, how many times do we have to shift? You know, if we're going to shift, let's shift and get it done. It's sort of like that song, you know, I've traded my sorrows. I laid them down for the glory of the Lord. You know, I traded my sorrows, my sickness. I laid them all down for the glory of the Lord. I'm thinking, you know, I got to a place. I don't want to sing that song no more. Give them to God. Get done with it. Hello, somebody. And so I felt that way with shift. And then lo and behold, people that I respected start talking about the shift and said, there's a shift inside the shift. I said, the shift inside the shift? What is all this shift stuff? And it just turned me off. And then I was praying one day, and I said, Lord, what is all this shift? How many times do I have to shift? And he reminded me, I used to play football. And when I played football, they would say, ready, set, shift. And when they shift, the backfield would shift, and it was all meant to throw the defense off. He says, how many times do you have to shift? I said, for the whole game. He said, that's how many times you have to shift. You're in a game here. You're in this thing for until the end. And when he calls a shift, you have to shift. And transition is shifting. It's shifting from one place to the next place. It's shifting from one mindset to the next mindset. The greatest shift in the church is that for the saints to realize we can't do church as usual. You can't do church as usual. See, the church is evolving. The church is taking on new shape, new form, new mentality. And unless we learn to change with it and grow, and I'm not talking about doing things ungodly. I'm not talking about Christianity light. Come on. I'm talking about that we see that God is moving and we move with the Lord. We have developed a mentality we will camp in what was rather than moving with the cloud and doing what is. And so we're in this transition. Everybody say transition. And so I'm in this hallway. I feel like I don't know what I don't know which door I'm supposed to go through. I don't know what's next. It's dark in here. But the worst part about transition, when you're in transition, you feel naked and undone. You know, all of a sudden you feel like your prayers don't do any good. You know, and you don't even want to get up and say anything because you're naked and undone, and you believe that everybody else can see you naked and undone. You know, it's one thing, you know, when the Spirit of the Lord's moving on you so powerfully that you can just get up and do whatever, and you know, but you got confidence that God's in this and everything. But then all of a sudden, you feel like you're just going through the motions. You're naked and undone, and people see you naked and undone, and that's the last thing you want. Well, amen. That's the last thing I want. I want naked and undone. Well, amen. And so we feel that way, and we wonder, God, where are you at? God, what's going on? God, have I missed it? Huh? Did I sin? Are you angry with me, God? Are you angry with the church, Father? Huh? What's wrong here, God? You know, other folks are bailing out. Am I supposed to bail out too? By the way, that's the spirit of mutiny. Come on now. That's the spirit of mutiny. And you wouldn't get away with that if you was at sea. Amen. And so we have these thoughts. I better run while I can get out. I've got to get away and get secure because, after all, look what's going on. And the truth of the matter is you don't know what's going on. You're in transition. Well, amen. And you're transitioning to something. God's taking you somewhere. And if you'll hold on and let God take you through the process, then when you come out on the other side, you're going to come out stronger than what you went into this thing. You're going to come out with more understanding, more revelation of what God's trying to do in your life. Are you hearing what I'm saying to you? And so you got to bear the course. You got to realize that God's at work in you, even when it doesn't feel good, even when you can't feel God. God's still at work at you. He told me one time, you know, I said, you know, we I, went through a period and God wasn't doing anything. And he got on me real quick. He said, don't you ever say I'm not doing anything. He said, I'm always moving on your behalf. I'm always doing things. It may take a while for you to tap in and see it, but I'm always doing something. And so he's always doing something in your life. Amen. But you're in transition. Amen. But you have to understand that when you're in transition, it's like the caterpillar, you know, who turns into a butterfly. And some people like caterpillars. And some people don't like change. You tell somebody you're going to change into a butterfly, they say, I like being a caterpillar. This is the way I've always done it. Why do I need a change? Because change is good. Amen? You're being changed, whether you're not, no, no, no. You're being conformed to the very image of Christ. You are. That's the greatest call in your life. God's at work at you, causing you to will and to do of His good pleasure, and you are being conformed to His very image, the very image of His Son. And so there's something going on, whether you realize it or not. And sometimes we fight the process. Yeah, we do. And sometimes we do it purposely. You know, we're stubborn. I don't want to do it. You know, all right, God, I'll stand up and praise you, but I want you to know right now I'm sitting down. Yeah, I praise you, God. I don't want to do it, but I'll do it. And we fight the process when God's only doing something for us that will be beneficial to us, that will help us in the long run. Well, amen. And so the caterpillar wants to be a caterpillar. Amen. Those who've worked all their life like to keep on working. Amen. Tell them about grace. Well, you know, I don't know about that stuff. You know what? Here's what you got to realize. Nobody that has drank of the old wine immediately says the new is better. They got to keep on sipping for a while before they get it. And I've been around some people that had to sip and sip and sip and sip, and then suddenly the light will come on and they'll say, oh, I get it, I see it. And immediately they know that what's going on now is better than what they've been experiencing. Amen. But if you jump out before you get to experience the full load of what God's trying to do, then you're going to miss it. Well, amen. And so the caterpillar is on his way to being a butterfly. Look at somebody and say, there's hope for you. Now, the problem with this is the caterpillar, in order for the caterpillar to become a butterfly, has to go through transition. And in transition, here's what happens. The caterpillar is hidden away in what's called the cocoon. You know, those caterpillars sometimes can be cute little fuzzy things. You know? Boy, that brother, sister, man, they're really spiritual. They got, boy, I'll tell you what, they prayed, and you can really feel God on their life. Then suddenly, they're in transition. And when they're in that cocoon, the cocoon is ugly. You know, the caterpillar's cute, the butterfly's cute, but the cocoon is ugly. And sometimes we have to realize we're going through our ugly stage. Come on now. We're going through, you know what I'm talking about. You come to church, and the only reason you come to church is expected of you. You're in your ugly stage. Come on, I'm being serious now. You're in your ugly stage. You don't realize that God's doing something in your life that far exceeds your want to. And so when you're in your ugly stage, I never went out and looked at the cocoon. I just go, you know, I went out and picked up caterpillars. I've had butterflies land on them. You admire them, you look at them. But the cocoon, I never go up to a tree or whatever and just look at a cocoon. Why? It's ugly. Are you following what I'm saying? And so we have to realize sometimes we don't understand what's going on, but in the cocoon, there's a making going on. There's a shift taking place. You're being transitioned from one thing to another thing. Come on now. See, sometimes you have to realize you've gone through some defeat in your life, and you feel like you're all alone, and you feel like you're undone, and you feel like you're naked, and you feel like everybody knows it. But what you need to realize is that there's a transition going on in your life. You're coming from a place of being undone to being something now that's more than a conqueror, something that's victorious, glory to God. But you gotta hold out and go through the process, amen? Are y'all with me? All right. And so when God looks at the caterpillar, he doesn't see a caterpillar, he sees the butterfly. Amen. And he never tells you about the cocoon. All right. So here's what I've discovered. Many of us are operating below our calling. Yeah, we're operating below our calling because the Scripture says, arise and shine. Amen. But it also says this, that the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Where's he at? Where's the Spirit of the Lord? Upon me. Why? Because he's anointed me. Look at somebody and say, I'm anointed. And see, sometimes we save anointings for those people that we put on a pedestal. But the truth of the matter is, you and I are anointed. We're anointed whether we feel like it, whether we look like it, come on now, whether anybody else recognizes it, we're anointed. And if we'll learn to flow with the anointing, then we'll begin to see some things take place in our lives. Well, amen. So, but we operate below our calling. But I believe that we're in a season of turnaround. Everybody say turnaround. And I believe what the enemy meant for evil, God's going to turn to good. And that while we're in this hallway of darkness, this hallway of transition, this hallway of hell, that's literally what it feels like. You don't feel like anybody understands you. You don't feel like God even knows where you're at. You're in this hallway. And while you're in this, though, the Scripture tells us in Revelation chapter 3, behold, I set before you an open door. Where's the open door at? Before you. And so if the door's before you, it gives us a clue. Whatever way you're looking, go through the door. Amen? But it doesn't help you to know that there's a doorway there for you. It doesn't help you to know there's a way out of transition if all you're going to do is look at the door and not activate yourself and participate with God and go through the door. Well, amen. And so you got to rise up. You got to begin to say, I'm going through. I'm not going to let this stuff stop me. I'm not going to give into it. I'm going to go through the open door. Amen. So what's God doing then? Well, one of the things he's doing, he's bringing awakening. Everybody say awaken. The reason he brings an awakening, there's only one reason he brings an awakening. Only one reason. It's because the church is asleep. If you wasn't asleep, you wouldn't have to be woke up. Well, come on, isn't that not true? And so he says, you know, we've been crying out, God, send awakening. And we didn't realize it. But we're saying, God, wake me up. Huh? Why? Because we realize that oftentimes that when pressure gets on us, when we all have these pressures, you know, we have pressures of life, just pressures, you know, that people put us under, expectations that you know, people have of us, and we try to live up to their expectations, whatever. So we have these pressures. And when these pressures come on us, sometimes it makes us draw back and kind of set down. Anybody relate to that? And when that happens is, you know, we start giving up hope. So God's wanting to send awakening. And then he's not only wanting to send an awakening, but there's this revival thing. And I don't believe just in revival, because I see people say, you know, we're in revival. We're in revival Thursday, Friday, Saturday. We're going to take Sunday and Monday off. I'm thinking, no, you're not in revival then, because you don't take days off when you're in revival. But here's what I believe God's wanting to do, not just send a revival, but he wants a habitation. He don't want to just come and visit. He wants to come and inhabit the place. Are you following me? He wants to come in so that when people come up on the parking lot, they feel the presence of God. We've had people say they were going down the highway past the church and said they were compelled to pull in. Didn't know why. They were just compelled to pull in. Are you following me? We've had those experiences, but it shouldn't be just a now and then thing. It should be such a magnet going off of us that people are just wanting to come in. They don't know why, and God's setting them up to be blessed. Amen. And so he wants to come and have a habitation, but he also wants to pour out in us and pour out through us. Come on now. You know, it's wonderful I get to come and speak, you know, but if you're depending upon me or Connie or anybody else that comes in here to bring revival, you're going to miss it, because you are the revival. You are. When you allow God to move in you. See, all it takes is you going out and just, instead of talking about how bad things are happening at the church, go out and tell people how good God is in the church. Go out and tell God people what God is doing in the church and invite them to come and see. Amen? Are you following what I'm saying? And the reason other churches grow is because there's a few people that get excited that go out and tell everybody about their excitement. That's it. That's all there is. It's not that God's favoring one place over another. It's the work of the people. Well, and so he's wanting to outpour. And then it's a time of suddenlies, and we've been talking about that. It's a time where God's just going to suddenly begin to break forth in your life. I was telling Pastor Jerry yesterday that this year has been a remarkable year for us. Of course, we knew it would be because one of the words for this year was that God was going to do exceedingly abundantly above all we may ask or think. And I've been in the ministry now for 44 years in the ministry, 41 years. I've had experiences this year I've never had before. I had people give me $26,000 just as a love gift. I have other people that's come to me. They sow into the church, but then they also sow into me at the same time. Are you following what I'm saying? And God's just beginning to multiply things. They begin to do things. And it's all because that, you know, we realize that we're in this shift and God is changing things. Well, amen. And we're making our decrees. We're making our decrees. Amen. See, we can live off what everybody else says. We can live off what we see with our natural eyes. Or we can choose to rise up and make decrees of what God says. Come on now, and begin to turn things around and begin to walk in those things. Well, amen. Amen. And so it's time of suddenlies. I believe we're coming to that season, and I may have preached this along this line before here, I don't know, but we're coming to a season, and I believe we're in it, that we're going to be like those who dreamed. The scripture says we were like those who dreamed. When God turned to captivity, he said we were like those who dreamed. In other words, that the things that we've longed for are suddenly going to begin to show up. And it's going to so amaze us that we're going to think we're dreaming. And we may be tempted to say to somebody, pinch me and see if I'm awake. Come on now. We're going to be like those that dream. The things that we've been people that we've longed to see come to the Lord. You know, who don't want to hear you anything anymore. Suddenly are going to turn to you and ask you, "What? Tell me again about that." And suddenly they're going to come to the Lord. Come on now. Long-term things that you've carried around, sicknesses and diseases, weaknesses in your body you just couldn't get rid of, suddenly are going to change. We are in a season of suddenlies. Well, amen. And so we need to prepare ourselves and get ready for it, amen. So get ready for family salvations. Get ready for family salvations. Yeah, just get ready for them. Begin to see it in the Spirit. Begin to see what they would look like if they were saved, Spirit-filled, serving God. Just begin to see it. See it, believe it, achieve it. Glory to God. In a minute, my wife's going to come up and put the end on this thing because it's getting late, and, you know, 4 o'clock in Hawaii. Hallelujah. But I'm going to just tell you, God's been doing some things in my life. And Pastor, you were right this morning with the things you said, right on. But one of the things he's done is he's been increasing the seer thing in me, or awakening it again. That's the way I first came into this thing. I would see things and then just tell you what I saw. But he's been awakening that thing up again in me. And I can be going down the road and I can see things all of a sudden out of the corner of my eye, and I'll have to stop and look again because it's just glimpses in the Spirit. It's just been intensifying and magnifying, and I was telling my wife about it, and then I just got done talking to her about it, and we went to a meeting, and this prophetess pulled me up, and she began to talk to me about how God was increasing the seer anointing in me, and I thought, yeah, I've already experiencing that, you know, but one of the things that happened just the other day, I had this vision. And let me just set the record straight. I don't dream. Brother Danny back there told me he dreams. I don't dream because old men dream dreams. Young men see visions. And even at night, if I'm sleeping, I have a night vision. I don't have dreams. I wasn't sleeping. And I looked and I saw. And as I looked and I saw this old-time locomotive. And it was one of those ones, you know, that you could see the wheels going, you know, and it chug, chug, making a lot of noise. And not only was it making a lot of noise, it was blowing a lot of black smoke up out of the stack there. And I looked in there, and there the conductor was in there, and there was one that was shoveling coal into the fire. And the more coal, of course, he put in the fire, the faster the train was going, and the train was going pretty fast. And as I watched, I saw it hit what looked like an invisible wall. And the only reason I could tell it hit it, because I couldn't see the wall, the only reason I could tell it was there was because when the train hit it, pieces shattered and went everywhere, and I could see the shattering of the wall. And it went through the wall, and as it went through the wall, it came to a place that was those old time, you know, it went through the wall, it went over a bridge and through the wall. It went to one of those places that, you know, they used to have these watering stations where the train would stop and get water, and I saw it stop and get water. And then I saw the conductor step down off the train, and as he stepped down off the train, he went over and pulled a lever and shifted the track. And I said, "All right, God, what's going on here? And what is this deal with the train? What's happening here?" He said, "The train is my glory train." He said, "It's speeding towards my children. And it's going to cross the bridge. It's spanning the bridge, you know, that would separate. The bridge that would keep people apart. The bridge that would keep things or keep the church from moving into the realm of the Spirit like God wants it to." He says, "It's spanning. It's going across it." He says, "It's shattering every obstacle that you or the enemy would seek, or man or the enemy would seek to put in front of it. It's shattering it. Nothing will stop this glory train." Come on now. Nothing is speeding towards us. Nothing will stop it. And then I watch as it comes to this watering hole. Oh, by the way, he says, because it's speeding, the glory train is speeding to you, he says it's going to take new challenges. And it's going to require for us to accept the challenge, to do more than what we've ever been willing to do before, to give ourselves greater than what we've ever been willing to give ourselves before, because what he's bringing to us is greater than anything we've ever experienced before. Well, amen. Are y'all hearing me? And then I watch as the train again come to the watering place, and I said, "Well, what's going on here?" And he says, "This is places along the line that I have ordained to refresh my people." And he says, "I will refresh them as they're experiencing what's going on." And by the way, when you know the train was and they would tip that thing, man, water would just simply pour out. I mean, in abundance. There's an abundance of the refreshing coming our way. Are you hearing what I'm saying? But here's what I heard the Lord say. Now, I watched as the conductor get down off the train. Let me back up before I do that. I said, "Who is the guy shoveling the coal?" He says, "That's my church." He says, "As they shovel the coal, that you'll begin to see this train going forward." And but I watched as the conductor got off at that watering hole, as he went over and flipped the switch, and the train took another track. I said, "What's that about, God?" He says, "If my people refuse to go with me, I will switch the track, and I will go to a people that did not look for me." Hello, somebody. And so I'm telling you, this is a serious time of transition where we need to begin to set ourselves to take the challenge and go with the Lord. And so I looked at that guy again shoveling coal, and I heard the Lord say, "Tell my church to shovel coal." I said, "How, Lord? How they shovel the coal?" He said, "First of all, through praise. And the more we praise Him, the more we spend time worshiping Him." And I'm not talking about praise Him to make Him do something, but praise Him because He's worthy. And the more we spend time praising Him, the more coal we're shoveling to make the engine go faster. Look at somebody say, "Shovel the coal." And then he says, we shovel coal through praise, but he says we also shovel coal through our proclamation. It is important what you have to say about what's going on. It's important about what you have to say about what's going on in the nation. It's important about what you have to say about what's going on in the church. It's important what you have to say about what's going on in your family. Make the right proclamations. And then he says you shovel coal by productivity. You get involved. You begin to do something. You quit looking for everybody else to do it. Well, amen. We've just determined, you know, if nobody else is going to do it, it ain't going to get done. We're not going to pick up the slack. Hello, somebody. I know we hire a preacher, pay the preacher so he can marry Barry and whatever else, you know, clean the church and everything else. No, hey, it's your church. If you don't want to, if you want to come and sit in a dirty church, come in and sit in a dirty church. Huh? If you want it clean, get up and do something. I'm preaching better than they're amen to me, Lord. And so we shovel coal by being productive. Amen. Somebody come to me and say, Pastor, I think we ought to do this. We ought to do that. I say, go for it. I'm behind you. And that's where all the places you're going to find me, behind you. I am not going to do it for you. Hello, somebody. But we need more programs. Good. Create one. Huh? We need some. You're volunteering? Huh? Come on now. See? Let's be productive. Let's assume some responsibility because we're all in this together. We're all shifting together. We're all going to go together. And when we get to the other side, we're all going to look like Jesus together. Amen. So let's say shovel coal. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm going to shovel some turkey here in a minute.
Oh, you go, Kinsey girl. You just go. Hallelujah. Okay, so we're talking about transition. I want to share experience that I recently had. One of the ladies at my church gifted me, wanted to honor me and take me with her to Birmingham, Alabama. I believe it was in September. To Birmingham, Alabama, August or September. I think it's August. Anyway, she said, I just really feel like you need to be there. And so she was going to take care of all the expenses, the hotel, the food, everything. And I struggled with that because I thought that's a very generous gift. And I struggled with it because inside I'm thinking, what is her motive? Come on. Because of past stuff that I had experienced. I thought, she's got to have a motive here. Does it? Nobody's just wants to be that generous without a motive. That was my thoughts. And so I'm struggling with this. And I was talking to my husband about it. And he said, honey, just go ahead and just receive it. She's wanting to bless you. And I'm like, but this is just too much. You know, it's just too much. And I went for a couple days, and I'm struggling with it. And so finally, he said, honey, you just need to make up your mind and go. You need to allow her. She wants to gift you. If you don't go, you're cutting off her blessing. Come on. Amen. And I thought, okay, I'm going to take the risk, and I'm going to go. So I get to this conference, and it's Randy Clark's ministry. And Heidi Baker and Todd White, and some of you know their names, they were there. And I'm all about some Heidi Baker. I just love her. but anyway, so I get to this conference. They have all this amazing worship going on. And, I mean, the worship is just ridiculous. I'm ridiculously, like, wow, over the top. And the lady that was with me, I would watch her, and she'd look at me, and she said, I'm going up. And man, she just take off to the front of the thing, the front of the conference, straight up front. And we were in a big arena thing, and she right up front. And I thought, well, you go, girl. I'm going to worship from right here. And I thought, I don't want to be up there where I'm shoulder to shoulder with it. You just go, you know. And so we went through the first service, and I'm just worshiping right where I'm at, just loving on Jesus right where I'm at. I go to the second service. Here comes Jana, and I watch her. She gets everything in place, and she said, I'm going up front. And I stood there as I'm watching her go again, and it was like the Lord kind of woke up something in me and said, pay attention. So I'm watching her go again, and I'm thinking, gosh, she is so hungry. This is what I said to myself. I thought, she's so hungry. And I stood back there, and all of a sudden, I felt the Holy Ghost. He said, where's your pursuit? I thought, well, God, I'm right here. I came. I took the risk. I came. I'm here. I'm doing good. I'm in my zone. I'm worshiping. Hey, go, God. You know. And the Lord said, but what happened? And it just stopped me. So another service comes. I have another opportunity, and I feel God tugging at me. Because what's happening is I'm realizing in my transition, I'm not as free as I thought I was. Come on. I wasn't as free as I thought I was. Had I not gone to the conference, I don't know that part would have ever been exposed. Because I thought I was doing pretty good. I mean, you know, I'm in it. I'm engaging. I'm, you know, go God. Yay. Woo. Glory. Huh? But yet he knew that something there wasn't quite in hot pursuit. Well, if that ain't enough, then I'm like, okay, God, just go after it. Because here's the thing. In this transition, this hallway of hell, my prayer, my private prayer has been, God, if there's anything unlike you in this vessel, kill it. And I mean it with everything in me. Kill it. I don't want it. Kill it. Come on. See, I'm not, it's not okay for me just to be a church member. It's not okay for me just to be a preacher, a prophetess. Come on. There's something in me that comes from the King of Glory that wants to leave legacy, that wants to leave an imprint on destiny, that wants to make an impact on the generations of the people around about me, that it carries on after I'm gone off the scene. There's something of greatness on the inside of me that's birthing and it's crying out and I don't know what to do with it. And so in my efforts to lean into that, I'm just like, God, whatever it is, kill it. Kill it. Because I don't know about you, but life is hard. And people that have walked with you and loved you and said, I'll be with you and I'm right there with you, all of a sudden they walk out on you. And it's not enough that they just walk out on you, but then they want to slaughter your name, slaughter your ministry, slaughter your character. And I didn't realize till I got to that conference that there is more conference. In that moment of worship where I thought I was doing okay. And the Lord let me know, no, you're not. No, you're not. So, okay, so we go into another service. Now, Minister Randy Clark's up there, and all of a sudden he wants to begin to minister to the fivefold ministry. And I'm like, woo, glory. So I'm standing there. I'm wide open. I'm like, come on, Jesus, you know. And all of a sudden he says, okay, he said, if you pastor, I need you to get up here. And I'm thinking, oh. Is that really necessary? You know? I'm like, man. And so I'm like, okay, God. I'm gonna do what the man of God has asked us. So here I go. And I wish I could say I was like, woo! Yes, Jesus, here I come. No, I was like, oh gosh. I mean, I was. And so I get up there and I'm up here, and he says, no, I need you to come up on the platform. Wow. So I get up on the platform and he has everybody lined up. Huge. And he's got his team with him. But months of crying out, God, if there's anything unlike you in this vessel, kill it. He took me up on it in this conference. So now I'm up on the platform and I'm all the way down to this end where there's kind of a curtain. So I'm just kind of trying to lean back into the curtain a little bit. And they begin to pray, and they start down at this end. His team comes, and they're just praying. God's moving beautifully, and I'm just down here, and I'm praying in the Holy Ghost. Just praying and hiding behind the curtain. I'm praying in the Holy Ghost. And I feel about, they get about three people from me, and all of a sudden I begin to feel the fire of God come. And the one thing I know when his fire comes. And I thought, ooh, here you come. And when I said that, it was like a wave just went whoosh, over me. I went out. They hadn't even got to me yet. I hit the floor. I'm laying on the floor. And it wasn't a beautiful, cute thing. I wasn't laying there just, you know, like some of you do. Just, oh, no. No, I'm laying on the floor. I'm rolling. I'm screaming. I'm just like, kill it. Kill it. This is what I, you know. And I hear the team get to me, and I hear Pastor Randy say, Connie! And when he did, it was like everything in me vibrated from my head to toe. It was the voice of God. And I heard the team saying, God, kill it. Whatever's tried to shut her down, kill it. Whatever's been an intrusion in her spirit, kill it. Now I say that to say this. There comes a place in your transition that you have got to be so gut honest with God. And you've got to come to that place of such hunger and surrender that your cry becomes, God, kill it. Kill it. Come on, I don't care. I'm not up here to look pretty. I ain't up here to sound, you know, just sweet and kind and nice. No, kill it. Come on now. You don't go through life and take blow after blow after blow and that stuff don't try to hang on to you. What it does, it has the potential to block the fullness of the God that you carry. Listen to this. In the midst of a transition or shift, you need to hear me. You're always in the making, not a breaking. He is making you. He's not breaking you. Do you hear me? It's in the making of something so much more beautiful, powerful, and anointed. What is required of me in this transition is to trust and to focus again. What am I beholding? What's occupying my mind and my emotions? Come on, church. Whether you realize it or not, family of God, we're all in some kind of transformation of some kind. And how quickly or how easily the process is really up to us individually. Do you know in my one moment of surrender and just honoring the man of God, even when everything in me thought, is that really necessary? Does it really take all that? Can I not just get free right here? Well, apparently not. Come on. Amen. See, God knows how to handle you better than you do. He knows how to bring the breakthrough for you better than what you do. And our problem is, what trips us up is we want to tell God how to do it. And God, if you'll do it like this, then I'll know it's you. And chances of that happening are slim to none. And you go home and you get frustrated and you think, God, where were you? Why didn't you come to me like I wanted you to? And God's saying, you can't box me in. And I'm not going to allow you to be boxed in. And I'm going to come to you in ways and measures that you don't know nothing about. And if it means I got to position you in a conference, get you on the platform, come on, amen, to kill any residue of the blows of life, of words that have been spoken that hit your ear gate, that try to crush your spirit. Huh? I mean, I've had people tell me, you know, Connie, does it really take all that? Well, yeah, hey, I guess so. Amen? I guess it does. So if I'm going to be in a place of transition, and if I'm going to be in my hallway of hell, then glory to God, I'm going to know what God is wanting to do. This is going to be done with ease. It's not going to be a long, drawn-out process. Come on. If he's putting me in there, he's putting me in there because I'm in the making of something wonderful and beautiful and glorious. Come on. He's not in there to break you down and pick you apart. You're in a making. Life is trying to squash the giftings and the callings of God that are upon your life. Amen. And it tries to silence the voice of God that's in you. So you're in this transition. I love it because the Lord showed me. He reminded me, you know, this thing about staying focused. If I was to have a table up here, you know, a dining room table, it's got chairs all the way around it. I've got chairs to the left of me, and I've got chairs to the right of me, and I'm right here. And at the very end of this table is Jesus. And he's positioned me at his table. And he's saying, I need you to gaze upon me again. I need you to lean into me, and I need you to refocus. Because everybody else at the table is my enemies. Come on. You know, the clowns are to the left of me and the jokers are to the right. And here you are, Jesus. You're stuck right in here with me. Amen. And at this table, it's like he's saying, come on, baby girl. Look at me. Keep your eyes on me. Focus on me again. Huh? Because what you behold is what you're becoming. Oh, I just said something right there. What you behold is what you're becoming. Did he not say, I'll even prepare a table for you even in the presence of your enemies? Oh, come on. Amen. So you're in your transitioning place. And it's a place where you got to remain focused. See, when I'm at the table, I can't complain because I'm looking at him, right? When I'm at the table, I can't even feel sorry for myself anymore. Oh, I know none of you all have before, but hey. So what's happening? What's happening? See, your appointed time in your hallway of hell is between you and God. It's how much you want to cooperate, how much you want to surrender, how much you want to die to come alive. To take on new wings. I love it. I love it. Pastor Laverne sang that old song, you know, if you'll wait upon the Lord, he'll renew your strength. You'll mount up with wings like eagles. And I love it because the Lord showed me one time, out of all the birds that he created, the eagle is the only bird that has a double joint underneath their wing. And so when the eagle knows it's fixing to hit turbulent weather, come on, great storms that would crush any other bird, the eagle has the ability to lock its double joint back, and it gets right up above it. Can I tell you, church, our double joint is the Holy Ghost. Some of us need to let our double joint spread our wings and get up above the stuff. Come on, amen. Come on, amen. So you begin to shift. Come on, you get up from your table that's in the presence of your enemies. And you come away from there and all of a sudden a new song is being birthed out of you. Come on. Your love is amazing. Huh? All of a sudden, his love is amazing. So amazing, so amazing. Your love is amazing. You get up out of that place and you begin to get your song back. Come on. You get your dance back. You get your shout back. Come on, the joy of the Lord begins to overtake you because you've been in the making. I love it. God said, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. Come on, church, you're in your due season where God said, I will raise you up. You're in your transition. Come on, stand to your feet. You're in your transition.
I almost forgot again to tell you what the Lord reminded me of this morning, 4 o'clock in the morning. In July, I wrote a little newsletter and mentioned that about remodeling. How many of you know before you can do remodeling, there has to be destruction going on first? And we just went through that. As a matter of fact, we've been in transition at our home, where they came in and destroyed our kitchen so they can give us a new kitchen. And in the midst of this kitchen being destroyed, we had the Coulters come in, and here we are with no sink, no countertops or anything else, and they're in the house with us. And it looked like a disaster zone. But we transitioned out of that, and now the finished product of she's got a beautiful kitchen. Are you following what I'm saying? And the Lord just reminded me at 4 o'clock this morning that sometimes that things have to be brought down before they can be brought up the way that he wants them to be brought up. Are you following what I'm telling you? And so there's what looks like a mess sometimes, what looks like destruction, is actually the hand of God getting ready to give you something more beautiful than what you've ever had. Come on now. Are you hearing what I'm telling you? More beautiful than what you ever had before. And in that remodeling, it looks like things are destroyed. But, you know, they pulled stuff off our walls that we didn't know they could get it off without tearing all the walls off. We know that in order to do what we had to do, there had to be some kind of foundation there to complete the work. And see, I want you to understand there may be some things that have happened in the church that it looks like things were just being destroyed. But if you'll look closely, the foundation's here. And as the foundation's here, things can be built again, come on now, and raise up the way God's doing and the way God's wanting to do things in this hour. And in the midst of this remodeling and restructuring, there also comes a rebranding, where we all of a sudden we are rebranded. People look at us in a different way, and they no longer see us the way we were, but they see us the way we are. Come on now. And that's important. Glory to God. Amen.
A little bit more volume there, honey. All right, so we're going to do something as a church body. Is that okay? I need everybody to come up here, and I just kind of want you to lock arms with one another. Come on. Just lock arms with one another. Because we're in this together. I don't care if this is your church or not. You're part of the body of Christ. We are in this together. Thank you, Lord. Some more. More volume. Come on, lock arms. Don't leave nobody out. See, as a prophetic people, I'm all about doing prophetic acts. This is a prophetic act right here. Amen. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Is it safe for the sound man to come out? I'm calling you forth like Lazarus. Come forth, man of God. Yeah. Hallelujah. So what we're doing is a prophetic act. You're locking arms. Remember, I remember part of the word of the Lord that God had me release this morning was that you are a great exceeding army. Come on. I decree and I declare over this exceeding army that she is healthy. That she comes alive. Huh? Come on. Where you're in your transition, God is birthing something so beautiful. You're coming out in a magnificent way. He's not about tearing anything down, but he's about building it up. Amen? Hallelujah. So you're joining arms. In joining arms prophetically, what you're saying right now in this moment is to the brother and the sister to your right and left, your battles have now become mine. And my battles have become yours. Your victories have become mine. And my victories have become yours. This is what a healthy body does. Come on, amen? Father, I just thank you for this body, and I thank you, Lord God, for the place of transition. And Father, I decree and I declare that the transition will be one of ease in the name of Jesus. And it'll be such an ease. It'll be so beautiful, Father God, that it'll almost seem overwhelming at times of the unity and the brotherly love, the kindness, Lord God, that is going to begin to be exemplified towards one another again, Father. Words of hope and life will begin to flow from our lips. No longer will we be those that will talk or release the counsel of the ungodly, the evil things, the ungodly, the unjust things. But God, our lips are being touched afresh and anew to begin to release words of life, words of hope, words of goodness and kindness, of wholeness to one another, Father, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, that even in our place of transition, what feels so undone, oh God, you're right there in the middle of it. You're right there in the middle of it. You're right there in the middle of it. Now I'm going to ask those of you, there's something in your heart and in your spirit that has the same cry I did. God, if there's anything unlike you, any blockage, any residue that's trying to cap me off and hold me back, God, kill it. Kill it so I can be free. Kill it so I can have the fresh release. Kill it so I can dream again. Kill it so I can see the hope again. Kill it! If that's you, I just want you to step forward. Everybody's okay. Wow. We need to have a deliverance ministry right now. Thank you, Lord. Somebody get behind her. Yeah, it's there. It's been there all along. It's been there all along. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father, for the fresh release. The fresh release in the name of Jesus. A freshness to dream, to hope, to see. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. You hear that cry, that longing, that hunger. In the name of Jesus, I give you glory for it, Father. I give you glory for it. I give you glory. I give you glory. Anybody else? Where are we going? Glory, Jesus. Glory, glory, glory. See, this isn't about picking yourself apart. It's just realizing life's been hard. Being part of the body of Christ is not for the faint of heart. Oh, Jesus. 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 Come alive, come alive, come alive, come alive. Oh, come alive, come alive. Come alive, come alive. Oh, come alive. Come alive, come alive. Come alive. I'll walk with you. I'll talk with you. You're my love, my bride. I adore you. I will walk with you. I'll talk with you. You are my love, my bride. I adore you. The dreams are coming alive. Hope is being restored. You're coming alive. You're coming alive, yeah. Hopes are being restored. Dreams are coming alive. You're coming alive. Coming alive, yeah. Ooh, oh, come alive. You're coming alive, yeah. You're coming alive, coming alive. Wow. See glory on you? Wow. Wow. Yeah. Wow, that's glory on you. Yeah, that's glory on you. It's glory on you. I see it. Breath of God. Alive, alive, alive. Alive.
minister to just a couple people, and then I'll let the pastor do what he needs to do. And if you need me minister to you after that, I'll be here. But as I'm locked arms here, I'm locked arms with you, and I don't know who you are, but I'm locked arms with you. And I saw this purse hanging on your side, and I saw the just like a little purse, just a kind of a raggedy purse, and then I saw a chain being put on it rather than a strap. And I heard the Lord saying, I'm about to strengthen your finances. I'm about to cause a financial blessing to come into your life where it looked like you just been used to the little. God's going to now begin to cause that multiplication begin to take place, and you're going to see the plenty being released in your life. And you're going to see now that God's going to bless you beyond your ability to perceive. He's going to bless you in such a way, and I don't know why, and it don't matter. He just loves you. He's going to bless you in a greater way than what you've been able to perceive. And the things that have weighed on you as far as having to make obligations to take place, and all those things are going to be easily overcome. You're going to begin to see the hand of God being the hand of good and plenty on your life. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And a sound man, and is a sound man and sound wife? Hallelujah. Glory to God. I heard two words for you guys. I heard settle and stability. Settle and stability. And God's going to settle some things, and you're going to have stability in it. And you're going to know that you know that you know that the decisions you made were the right decisions. I mean, I see you planting your feet. And you just look like you looked at each other and said, we've talked about this long enough, and now we're just going to plant our feet, and we're going to do what God's been putting in our heart. And the thing is just going to bring such a settlement in you that the peace of God is just going to begin to come into your life in new ways. I see just wave after wave of God's peace just overshadowing you. And as it does, I see it just like taking the weight off your shoulders, because it's like, all right, what do we do? How do we do it? What's next? And God said, I'm settling those issues. And as I settle it, there's going to be stability in your life. Like it's like I'm set in concrete now. I know this is what I need to do. I know this is where I'm supposed to be. It's the issue is settled. Now I'm every place you put your foot now, say you're going to walk on ground that you know, okay, this is my ground, God. It's a settled issue, and their stability comes in the midst of it. Glory to God. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, amen. Brother Jerry, I'm going to let you do what you need to do, and hallelujah. Or Shirley, whoever needs to do it. Well, they need to discuss
it. One thing I want you to prepare to do before you leave. Of course, we're having dinner, but before you leave this room, it's going to be a bucket on the back table for you to put an offering in to help with the camp meeting, with our encounter this weekend. If you're going to make a check, make it out to New Life so we can bless them. And I'm going to find out what we're doing. You know what? We just pray here, turn them loose, and let them go. Okay.